Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join the thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage. And today we're going to talk about being an extrovert and introvert in marriage and how to navigate that biblically.
All right, before we get started on the topic today, I just want to invite you to subscribe to our channel so that you get notified every time we upload a new podcast. And if you're loving the content you're getting, please leave us a review and a star rating. We'd love to see your feedback. So what is an introvert and an extrovert?
So the terms got really popularized by a psychiatrist by the name of Carl Jung, and I hope I say that right, but he, back in, 1920s, started just talking about these more. And so basically an introvert is re-energized by alone time, by having just solitude and
darkness.
Not darkness, just kind of being by themselves or thinking, being consumed by their own thoughts and feelings and creativity, where an extrovert gets re-energized by that social interaction.
Right. So are you an introvert or extrovert?
I'm definitely an introvert.
And you self-identify as that, or are you just...
based off of these personality traits, I would identify as
an introvert. Right. You usually would lean much towards being alone and not having a lot of people around.
Maybe here's a better definition. An introvert is someone who gets exhausted by social interaction and needs solitude to recharge.
I read that somewhere. On my side, I get exhausted by alone time. I actually go stir crazy.
Yeah, you go stir crazy and you crave having people over and going out.
A perfect example of this is just this last week, we were all sick. And everyone in our community was sick. All of our friends were sick.
So everybody was kind of quarantined in their own homes.
So we didn't see anyone for a couple weeks, actually. We missed church. We didn't have hangout time. And I was like, I need to go see people. And you were probably just loving it.
Our daughter was like that, too.
And you were loving it.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't mention one word about it.
I got stuff done around the house. It was just relaxing.
She's like, these last few weeks have been wonderful. Great. And I'm like, what are we doing? I need to go do something. Is there like people we can go see somewhere? So I would say I definitely self-identify as an extrovert. I do get energized when I'm in groups of people, when I'm around my closest friends. I'm not like that to the full extent where I could just be around any people. Although I get most energized around people I enjoy being around. You guys, but then like friends, guy time.
People who you already have intimate connections and relationships with. Close friends and family.
And I'm sure a lot of people listening today are similar, either on the one side or the other, which is why we're talking about this today, because this is it's a common thing. It's probably rare that couples are the same. They're always wanting to go or always wanting to stay in. It'd probably be actually harder on that, I feel like, because we're so different in that, don't you think it forces you to dig into the other side? And I get forced to like slow down and...
It does bring a balance to our relationship and to the way that we schedule ourselves, the way that we operate in our relationship. I think that it does bring balance for sure.
And it's not easy.
And in the way that we communicate. Because there's often times that because I'm an introvert, I want to turn inward in my thoughts and in my, just the way that I process things, where you're, because you're... more outgoing and expressive, you just want to talk about everything. And sometimes I'm not ready to, but you do a really good job of pulling those things out of me by questioning or asking, where sometimes I help us have that space.
And I haven't always been like, I feel like I've gotten better over the years and I'm still like learning because it's how we self-identify. Like, you're an introvert and I'm an extrovert. And we've kind of always said those things. I feel like it can often easily become a default. Mm. Instead of actually considering what we're doing with our life or how we're walking spiritually or how we're involving ourselves in our community, I could default in a bad way to wanting to go. And it's like, if I'm overwhelmed or if I'm tired or if I'm lonely or all those like triggers, my default could be like, I just need to go spend time with buddies and friends, and let's invite people over and let's fill that thing in me with relationships or people or excitement. Mm-hmm. Where on the other hand, you might default to the other side. You know, you're lonely or tired stressed out. Mm-hmm. You're going to default to, I just want to go like inside and I want to go lay down. I want to go be by myself. I want to go. So how do you feel like, you know, for our listeners, how do we navigate that in a healthy way? Because we haven't always.
No, but I will say, because you mentioned the differences being in marriage and being spouses of different personality traits, it is important to know where each other are, but also not to be justified in our responses and reactions to one another just because we are more dominant in that one trait.
Yeah, because how damaging would that be if let's say you just always thought like, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I won't do that. Meaning like going and spending time with people. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's, on two levels, it's wrong because, you know, we have a call to be being around other believers. Mm-hmm. We have a call to hospitality.
Right.
We talked about it in one of our other episodes. But what if you just got your way? What would happen to me?
Well, eventually you would have needs that weren't being fulfilled. And I think I would just become more and more selfish in my thinking and my desires and my way of communicating with you. But what has happened over the last decade is that because we've identified our personality traits, but we walk in understanding with one another, we give and take. And we're really good about making sure that our needs are fulfilled and that, you know, you give me that time when you recognize that I need it or if I ask for it and vice versa. So I think that it's really important to know where each other are in your dominant personality traits, but it's also really important to walk in understanding, because that's when you grow and you learn. Just like you said, like, you've learned how to be okay in those times when we're not seeing people, and I've learned to be more hospitable and invite people over and be more...
Get out of your shell.
Being okay with being uncomfortable, really.
And a good scripture I want to bring up for this, because, again, we don't want to just give opinions, and that's never our goal. But this is something that we want to have a biblical mindset about, that we want to have a healthy biblical mindset about, where we're not just trying to like, well, how do we figure this out on our own? Well, in Philippians 2:3, it says this. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This is a basic Christian understanding that we should have as Christians, not just in our marriage, but outside of our marriage with every human being in our life. But think about the value of that in our marriage. If we're both thinking this way, we're not being conceited, meaning like my way is right, and we don't have selfish ambition as in I want my way no matter what, and we're treating others as more significant than ourselves, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell my fleshly natural desire, which is to get out and go and do. And I'm going to say, no, flesh, I can see that my wife, knowing how she is because I'm walking with her in an understanding way, she needs some time. Like, we've been going, we did church and we had a friend over
things have been back to back.
And you know what? My wife needs not alone time, but she needs downtime.
Just a rest.
And so I'm going to say no to my flesh, and I'm going to sacrifice what my flesh desires, my natural state, my extroversion. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, well, hey, let's just stay home tonight and let's play games with the kids. Or why don't you go take a bath? Or why don't you go, let's read a book or something that is going to feed that part of you.
And I'll tell you what happens when you consider me in that way. It does re-energize me, and the next thing that I want to do is find a way to bless you. I want to invite those friends over. I want to go
reciprocal.
That party. I want to go do whatever it is that I know that you're itching to go do. So,
well, and what's amazing is when we walk in the Spirit in this way, and we take the scriptures and we say, how are we going to like apply this? Let's say, you know, the more often I do that for you, not only do you get re-energized and want to like repay me, kind of like, hey, I want to bless you in the same way you bless me.
Which isn't the reason why you're doing it. It's right. Thoughtfulness, but it does happen.
Well, because we're a team.
Right.
You know, we're me doing that and considering you is more mm-hmm. significant than myself mm-hmm. helps me. Mm-hmm. Because spiritually, when you get recharged like that, you actually do spiritually have more energy and more ability to step out in faith and step out and walking against your own flesh.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, that was really great. And instead of just trying to do it to please me, and it's not like you're begrudgingly doing it, mm-hmm. you actually find yourself enjoying those times, and you actually get to, instead of it just being nonstop and you're like, I'm just done. I have no energy left.
Yeah.
I actually help you have the energy to be able to walk in the scripture yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that play out with you towards me? Because you're the introvert, and I feel like that's a much harder place to be like a, I don't know, because an extrovert, I could still have a really hard time. You see me get stir crazy sometimes.
Well, I think that the important thing to remember is that we're not just one or the other. It's not just that I'm an introvert. Mm-hmm. I'm more dominant of an introvert, but I still have an ability to be social and to engage and to enjoy that time. And so I think the most important thing is not to identify yourself and just live that way the rest of your life. There's definitely room and potential to grow. I feel like I've really come out of my shell since being married to you and just being more open to friendships and other relationships in that way. So I think that it is important that we know who we are and what our dominant trait is. But again, just going back to that, don't justify it and be stuck in that mindset that, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. Because well, you know, that's actually a really good point. There's lots of things that we identify with in our life, in our character, like me calling myself an extrovert, I'm labeling myself something,
mm-hmm.
which might have, like, it's true. Like I have natural extroversion tendencies and I like to go and do stuff and it does energize me. But at the end of the day, we want to be biblical people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be godly people, righteous people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The Jesus tells us to take up our cross. And what's the cross? Our pastor always says this, it's the instrument of killing the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what it is. The cross is the thing that we use to kill our flesh. And so if my natural desires are just to always be going and, you know, all I'm doing is walking in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Not that, again, that's not a valid thing about me, but it's definitely something that I should not use as an identity crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like you just identify like, no, I'm an introvert. I can't do that. I can't go do that ministry over there because I'm an introvert.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Sometimes when we have that label or banner mm-hmm. over us that we've placed there, that we've identified with and said, I'm okay with that one because I see myself that mm-hmm. way. Then when God does ask us to do something extraordinary, sometimes we say we can't or no, because mm-hmm. we honestly believe that about ourselves. And so we do need to be careful that our identity isn't wrapped up in our personality types or anything else, but that it is in Christ, and that we know that we're capable of doing so much more than, you know, what these labels say that we can.
And you know what? Christ wants our identity to be wrapped up in Him.
Right.
To be honest, no part of our identity, we just had a conversation about this at church, no part of our identity should be off limits to God.
Right.
God could have my extroversion. He can have my cravings, my desires, my ideas, my hobbies,
your creativity,
my creativity.
Everything.
It should be His. Yeah. So whatever I think my identity is, it should be wrapped up in Christ.
And I think that's a really, really important thing for our listeners to hear, to be reminded that a marriage after God is one where mm-hmm. the husband and the wife both encourage each other to walk out their identity in Christ. I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Just to go back to your question, I found that over the years, the more I do give you that time and space to be re-energized by socializing and I'm there by your side, or mm-hmm. we invite people over for hospitality, that it's actually been super encouraging to me, and it has allowed this growth spurt in me. Mm-hmm. And I've seen how God has used it in my life to not only grow me, but grow my other relationships, to encourage you, to give you that time to be re-energized by. And so I have found a huge encouragement in opening up, you know, my abilities and comfort mm-hmm. zones to be able to host things and do things for you that I necessarily wouldn't have chosen for me.
Which is a beautiful thing to watch, because aspects of your character start to get developed
mm-hmm.
and come out that are really beautiful mm-hmm. things, and people actually get to benefit from the fruit of those changes in you. And conversely, I've had the same, you know, transformation where when I realize that I could be serving you and be like, well, actually, no, my wife needs this downtime. She can't keep going and going and going. Let's not do that. I learned to slow down. Mm. I learned to be content in less stimulus. I also, on a more practical level, it just gives me more time with you.
Yeah.
It gives me more time with my kids. Mm-hmm. Just alone time, like quality alone time where it's just us. No other outside influences, it's just us.
It also benefits us being home because then, like, let's say instead of hanging out with that friend or family for, you know, long hours into the night, we're home and we're preparing for the week ahead. And haven't you noticed that sometimes our weeks go a little bit smoother just from...
A lot of it smoother.
A lot of it smoother just from having that time being at home instead
of
constantly
leaving. We just dealt with this on Monday
leaving.
Because we weren't ready on Monday. And so it kind of like got our week.
It jolted us.
So we had to like catch up.
Yeah.
But
we had to embrace it because it was a choice that we made to hang out the night before. So there's just that give and take in marriage that really is a beautiful thing. And if we can learn to work through it and to navigate it and to have a biblical understanding of each other. And I don't know. I just think that it could be a really positive thing in marriage to be different personality types.
So that's all really good. And it's good to be considering these things. A lot of times we don't discuss things that might, they're just part of us. And when we don't discuss them, we rub against them.
Yeah, I would say
bump into them.
One of the biggest benefits of how we've navigated this is communicating it by me letting you know, hey, we've been doing things back to back and I need this alone time.
Yeah.
I need to be able to go recharge before I do anything else. Or you saying, hey, it's been a couple of weeks. We really need to invite some friends over. So I think communication is key in blessing one another, in making sure that we are getting recharged and motivated for life and for whatever God has for us.
And remembering, We're a team.
Yep.
We talk about oneness all the time. If we do this back and forth and we treat each other as more significant.
Mm-hmm.
And as it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If we treat each other the way we'd want to be treated, it's good for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us just always trying to get our way and it's doing this and it's just tearing us apart. And we actually are incapable of doing anything great for God because we're just so selfish and
better it would be to use our personality traits and our ways of re-energizing for God's glory and for those missions and purposes that he has for us and for our marriages.
Yeah.
So incredible.
So speaking of Luke 6:31, doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you, what's a few ways that you've been able to do unto me as you'd want to be done unto you? Like that you treat me and respect me and help me in my tendencies of desiring lots of community and outside engagement.
I would say that this is really important, like just having ways that I care for you and ways that you care for me. So a big one is hospitality, and making sure that I'm inviting friends over, but also preparing those meals and making sure that just the night and the environment and atmosphere is of peace and community
fun.
Sometimes we plan game nights. Sometimes we go out a lot more during the summertime. We just go to fun places where the kids can run around and just making sure that we're having that fun time, which are planned. But then there's other times where I need to be spontaneous, right? Even if I feel in my flesh that I really would just like to go. Sometimes after church, I'm like, I just want to go home and take a nap. But something comes up, friends invite us out for hot chocolate with the kids.
Yeah, and my face lights up.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't tell them no. So just being available to adapt to circumstances and saying yes to things because I know that they'll bless you.
A perfect example is you planned a dinner with some friends of ours and you just reminded me today, you're like, hey, we have dinner tonight. They're going to be here. So I'm like, who? And you're like, so-and-so. And I'm like,
yes. I'm so excited.
I just get excited for it. Yeah. Well, and just something I wanted to bring up. Knowing what your spouse's natural tendencies are, when you see them go against those things, it's actually a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you can encourage your spouse. And so if you are an introvert or if your wife's an introvert and she goes out of her way to plan something that is totally not in her nature, like use that as an opportunity to be like, babe, I'm really proud of you. Like that I'm really excited and this makes me feel good. And vice versa, where if you have like if your spouse is an extrovert and they've decided to be like, hey, you know what? I decided not to go, you know, do that thing over there that I was going to go do. I just want to stay home with you guys. Be like, wow, like I'm really proud. This makes me feel honored and blessed. And it helps encourage the dying to self, but it's be encouraging.
Yeah.
And use those as triggers for that.
Now that I've shared some ways that I try and bless you, knowing your personality traits and tendencies, what are some ways that you bless me knowing I'm an introvert?
So I try and be very aware. When I know that we haven't been going back to back, because like Sundays where it's an all day affair, I might ask, be like, hey, what do you think about doing this?
There have been times that you ask, and I tell you honestly, and I'm like, I'm spent and I can't. And you're like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I'll
being receptive.
I'll adjust things I want. I'll say, you know what, let's just go home. Or why don't we go home and you just relax and I'm going to cook us dinner. Because maybe she's just been going all day and she just wants to sit, be on her phone for a little bit.
Sometimes you don't even tell me, you just jump in and start doing it. And I look and I'm like, should I interrupt him? No, just let him do it. This is so cool.
There's other times where, when we do date night on Tuesday nights, I don't, even just asking, hey, can we have people go?
Because
we like double dating. But by even just asking adds a level of like,
it does sometimes, yeah.
So sometimes I just don't even ask.
Yeah.
And I just let you assume that it's just going to be us, and I just going to do that. And then sometimes in those situations, you're like, hey, I called so-and-so, they're going to be meeting us. And I'm like, oh, really? So just, I think the biggest thing I do for this, I wouldn't say there's specific things, but just being aware and watching you, as we should always be doing, like aware of our spouse's spiritual state and emotional state.
There are some times in the evening where you can tell I've just been overrun with the kids and housework and everything. And you're like, hey, I got this, go. Go to the bedroom, go read, go get in the word, go take a bath, whatever you need to do.
Sometimes I've even said, hey, why don't you go to, we have a coffee shop near our house, just go grab a tea and sit for an hour. I'll kind of get us ready for the evening.
One time he came home a little bit early for lunch and he goes, hey, go to lunch. And I'm like, just by myself? And he's like, yeah. And it felt really weird to even consider that, but I jumped in the car and I left.
She drove as fast as she could. She turned her phone off.
The whole way there, I was like, this is going to be so awkward, but I enjoyed it so much. It was so great. And I was recharged. Yeah. I came home and I was positive and happy and just refueled.
Yeah. So I want to, before we close, I want to read one more scripture just to get our minds. Again, these are very simple scriptures of just treating others better than yourself, considering others. If we just allow our identity to be, I'm an extrovert and I just need to go and you're stifling me and you're hindering me and you're not. And if she was to go, you know, I just want to be home and I never want to go out. And we would just be, it's called selfishness. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to break us apart. It ruins oneness. It's wicked. God hates selfishness. So what we're doing is just, this is an opportunity for us to practice selflessness and becoming one and serving each other. And I just want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's just the definition of love. And in verse 4, it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. And this is the one I want you to listen to. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so it doesn't insist on its own way. And so we can take these things, these natural identity identifiers in us, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to put them on the cross, and I'm going to learn to die to myself and to serve my spouse the way you want to. And you know what happens? You think you're never going to get what you need, but God knows what you need. And we just need to trust him and we need to walk with him and we need to walk in submission to his word. And it's just a beautiful thing when you love your spouse the way the Bible teaches you to love them and that we're selfless with each other. So thanks for joining us today. We just enjoyed talking about this topic of introverts and extroverts and diving into where our identities are and how to walk selflessly with our spouses and just the power that it is when we do walk selflessly, that we can actually see the Lord work and it changes us, makes us more like him. And we just hope that you have an awesome conversation with your spouse about this as you navigate your own identities and extrovert or introvert tendencies. Did you enjoy today's show? Find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com and let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage. Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.